Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to our final episode in the book of Malachi, as we wind up not just this short little Old Testament book, but really the Old Testament itself. Malachi chapter 4 is one of the shortest chapters in the Bible, just six verses long. Certainly the shortest chapter in the book of Malachi, but boy, a power-packed chapter it is. And we're looking at the last three verses of this chapter. So let me read them for us here, John. Again, thank you, John, for joining us today. The Bible says in Malachi 4 and verse 4, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb," or we would say Mount Sinai, "for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." What a strange way to end the Old Testament.
Yeah, I think your pastor is Malachi wraps this up. It takes us back to verse 4, back to the beginning of the Old Testament, talking about the law of Moses, and then looks forward to what's going to happen, what God still is going to do, as things will still continue to unfold in the plan of God.
So to the first century, or not first century rather, but to the contemporary hearer of this prophecy. So remember, at my friends, as you study the Bible, a rule of hermeneutics, of Bible interpretation, is to put yourself back into the mindset of the original audience. So the author, obviously, is the Lord, but he's using Malachi to prophesy to a group of people that will not now hear direct revelation from God for hundreds of years. So this will be the last little snippet of information they can hang on to for a good long period of time. And so I think it's important that the Lord says, "I want you to remember the law of Moses. Don't forget what I've told you. Don't forget the covenant that I've made with you. Make sure that you're understanding the word and imbibing the word, living the word, remembering the word of God."
You know, I think, Pastor, as you just pointed out, that God does remind them, he has told them how to live. He has told them what is the kind of life that brings honor and glory to him. And the law doesn't just talk about outward observances. It also talks about the heart and how the heart is with God. And it reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 30, how that Moses lays out before the people the choice. And he says, "You know, I give you blessing and cursing, life and death, but choose life." And here, God wants the people in Malachi's day to choose life and to do those things that they know they need to be doing.
And lest we think that what the Lord is saying here is, you know, do your duty, memorize all these laws and commandments. There's a part of that. But remember, the law of the Lord includes all the relational aspects. For instance, Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength." And so don't forget about me. Don't forget about my expectations, my holiness. Remember, so often in life, we're looking for some new nouveau truth. And God said, "If I'm going to leave you with something, and that is, I've given you a body of truth. Remember it."
Yeah, and I love the fact that, as you pointed out, Pastor, that God has revealed them to has revealed truth to them. God has told them how they are to live. And Moses reminds the people of Israel in Deuteronomy, you know, the secret things belong to God, but the things God has revealed belong to us and our children. And as you mentioned, the relational aspect, you know, this was a covenant. And we find the covenant emphasizes two parties and the relationship that comes as that covenant is kept. And obviously Israel failed often in the covenant, and Malachi has already spoken about that. But Malachi calls them back to right living, to a right relationship with God, and live as they know he wants them to.
It's interesting to me, John, that the Lord introduces these two characters, Moses, the lawgiver, and then Elijah, the prophet. And if you want to divide the Old Testament into two major sections, I understand there's three. We think about the Tanakh, but the law and the prophets. So Moses and Elijah. So God said, okay, I want you to remember the law of Moses. Now, I'm going to send Elijah before that great and notable, that dreadful day of the Lord. Why the prophecy of the coming of Elijah?
You know, I think about Elijah, and we find prophets in generally the Old Testament, that God used prophets to call people back to where they ought be. And we're going to find even at the end of Malachi here that when Elijah returns, you know, God will use the message he gives to call people back and to be reconciled with one another. And until we are reconciled with God, we cannot be reconciled to one another. And unless we're reconciled to one another, we're not going to be reconciled to God. It all comes back in Israel's time, in the time of Malachi, to this idea of covenant community. And how that if they were not right with God, they were not right with each other. They were not right in the covenant. And here, prophets often call people back to holy living. And we're going to find that Christ refers to the New Testament. But this is an important concept about the relationship, not just with us with God, but with people with people.
So, my friends, you think about Moses and Elijah. First of all, they're both associated with Mount Sinai. Moses with the giving of the law. Then remember, Elijah ran there, and that's where God kind of recommissioned him at Sinai. They're both associated with the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when Jesus was glorified in front of Peter, James, and John, he appeared there with Moses and Elijah, and the Lord, God, spoke of his son, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Remember, they saw Moses and Elijah, but then they were gone and Jesus remained. And I think the idea there is that the message of Christ was not in contrast to the message of the Old Testament, but in fulfillment of it.
You know, I think of John 5:39, where Jesus talking to the Jews about himself being the Son of God. And in John 5:39, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Right. So Moses and Elijah testified of the coming of Jesus, and so his message was not a replacement of theirs, but a fulfillment of it. And then I think in Revelation, I think it's 11, we talk about the two witnesses in the end times. I personally believe, John, that there'll be Moses and Elijah.
Yeah, I think they're the best options I can think of.
So. When the Bible prophesied that Elijah would come before Messiah would come, in what sense was that fulfilled in John the Baptist?
That's an interesting question, Pastor. And Matthew deals with this. In Matthew chapter 11, he talks about how that Jesus says, you know, if the people would have received what God done, then John would have been Elijah. And of course, people often debate, well, what would have happened if the Jews would have accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah? Yeah, obviously, we know that Christ had to die for our sins. That's beyond our point today, obviously. But John the Baptist did come in the spirit and the power of Elijah, as in Luke chapter 1, the angel told Gabriel. The angel told Zechariah.
The angel told Zechariah that would be the case. And then remember when Jesus was descending from the Mount of Transfiguration, he had this very conversation with the inner three, and said, hey, if you'll understand it, Elijah did come. He came as you said, in the ministry of John the Baptist. So it's interesting. In the first coming of Christ, John represented the spirit and power of Elijah. He came. And then in the second coming of Christ, which he's going to come in judgment to set up rule and reign, Elijah will again precede the coming of Jesus. And the reason is supplied for us here in Malachi 4. And that is the ministry of the preparer, whether it was John or now Elijah to come in the future, the ministry was to turn the hearts of the children to the Father and vice versa. So God's always concerned about a ready heart.
You know, and we do find that very much in John's ministry, people being prepared for the Messiah. And we will find that in Revelation, as you already referred to, when many people will. Now, there will be a lot of people that were going to hate the prophets in Revelation, but there are many people that will be turned. We find many people coming to Christ and that are martyred for Christ during the time of the tribulation.
And isn't it interesting that the time before the coming of Christ will be a time where children and parents will have a disaffected relationship. We see that even today, that the family unit is disintegrating and generational Christianity is eroding, and the need for a strong prophet and the word of God to be thundered out and a people that are ready to receive from a heart level the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, and I think how much you mentioned a moment ago, how much God does long for reconciliation in families. And it's only through Christ that families can be right. You know, I was doing some reading lately, read an author that talked about, of course, Jesus is the mediator between God and man. But when we think about it, Jesus actually is the only one that can make our relationships right with one another. Without Christ, no relationship can be what it ought to be.
That's right. He's the mediator between every good and godly relationship. Not just our relationship to the Father, but our relationship with our Christian brothers and sisters. That's a great thought.
Yeah, and I think of Ephesians 5, how it reminds husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church, and Christ can empower us to have that right relationship.
So my friends, God has not chosen to be silent. We know that Malachi ended, and there was a period of silence for 400 years, but God came with a loudspeaker in the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, the New Covenant, and you and I have access to His throne day by day through His Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And I guess my question to you today is, what are you doing with the added benefits that God has given you as a New Testament believer? You have the Spirit of God. You have the Word of God in your very hand, on your phone, on your iPad, on your nightstand. What are we doing to build and culture a relationship with the Christ who has come and the Christ that is coming again?
That is a piercing question, Pastor, and a question that we all be asking ourselves on a continual basis. We have great, innumerable riches through Jesus Christ. And sadly, people sometimes live like spiritual paupers when they ought be living like sons of the King and walking in great victory.
And to bring it right back to our theme, you know, God has given us so much evidence of His goodness, of His grace, of His plan. Yes, you're going to have a question. Matter of fact, you're going to have many questions, but never, never, never should the believer question God. He has proved Himself over and over again. And so I hope that our little study of the book of Malachi has increased your faith, has emboldened your spirit to live for Jesus Christ. It's the only life worth living. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.